Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
November, man. That's like football season at its glory. Seems like, you know, we always love to watch football, but it's like when November comes, it's like the bigger games.
Yes, sir.
The better matchups. Coming to play.
Speaking of better matchup, the better weather matchup too.
Oh yeah,
it's a little nippy out there, and it's that show that manhood.
Yes, that's right.
Cold, brother.
Anybody can play in 80 degree weather.
That's right. You walk out there, them hands a little chip, nippy and chippy.
Yeah,
it changed the game. So we got so we almost had a triple header for me. I mean, a quadruple win. I was like, Muskegon Heights Tigers, get them.
Tigers won. Moving on.
Clap, man.
Moving on.
First playoff game at the crib ever, I think.
I would have to say. I can't remember back when they made that run in 89, but I'm pretty sure. I know there hasn't been anything since then.
No playoff games at home.
Had never been a playoff game at home. It'd been more on the road that one year, and they was one game away from the Silver Dome.
93?
That was 93?
Yeah, C.Q. Moody and them and Ronnie Cavins and them.
Man, I thought
It was 2011 too, or 2009 with Snead and them.
With Snead, okay.
Yep. But they didn't have no home playoff game. And in 93 with Kurt Adams and them played, coach, they didn't have no home playoff game.
Okay then. For some reason I was thinking that was 89.
I think they was in the neighborhood in 89 is Janaka Sanders and they crew and Darren Davis and them.
Okay.
That was a good team. Man, that's 89. Yeah, Mook and them was 90. 1991.
I remember them going up to play the Flivers.
Okay.
Kingsford Flivers up in the Superior Dome.
Wow.
And basically could have won that game. That was a semifinal game.
Okay.
And they'd have been at Silver. At that time, they were still at the Silver Dome.
The Tigers would have been there.
Yeah.
Man.
Yep. One game away.
Yeah. But I'm loving the Parker story. I'm loving the Big Red story, too, because you got Piggy. That's representing, and you know, I got all the other kids, but I'm just like, I'm looking at Piggy's situation.
Super sophomores, man.
How you pushing through the pain and having an offensive line. I mean, a defensive offensive line of all sophomores, right?
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, sophomores and sprinkling a few juniors, but for the most part, 8 sophomores are starting. So, you know, that is a testament to the work that these kids are putting in.
Man, speaking to the work, the coaches, you got to do that every year. You got to figure out how to get some people on board and ready in a public school where it's choice if I really want to do it.
Yeah.
It's private school, like you go in here, we paying your money.
Oh, come on,
or you done fill out the application. We got these sponsors. We got this. We in the – and when I say in the hood, I don't mean in a negative way. We in the neighborhood.
We are considered a urban football area, right?
Yeah.
And it's in the city, and most cities that you go to in the United States, because of the white flight,
that's right,
are predominantly Afro-American.
Yeah,
so then Hispanic.
So my third team in the quad, in my quadruple, was Michigan State,
the Spartans.
So Muskegon Heights, the Spartans won. Again, resiliency, perseverance.
Yeah.
Down 16. And my wife be tripping. Like, I wanted to go to the game. So we watching the game. We go hang out. So we go to, like, you know, eatery, right?
Uh-huh.
Pub. I get mad. I'm like, I'm ready to check into the hotel. Forget it. Because we down.
You down? Oh, you ready to bail on them?
Yeah. No, I'm ready to bail, but I was getting mad at the quarterback. Because I'm like, we got all these weapons. What's wrong with him?
Okay.
So we down 10-0. Then I see the boy, Andre Harrell. And Anthony, that went to East Lansing, he played on the AAU team with my nephew. I knew him. And I'm like, he was a better basketball player, number one for Michigan.
Wow.
So I'm watching him play. I'm like, he killing us. He killing us going. And then I'm looking at Tuck. I'm like, Tuck stand man-to-man coverage. Like, this is what we do. I got a freshman covering him. He cold, a freshman good.
Okay.
This number zero that's covering, right? So I'm like, I'm looking. I'm like, all right, he killing us. Nah, Tuck, like, he ain't killing us. Just wait. That's one person, Chauncey. I guess I'm thinking in my mind. So it's 10-0. My wife looking at me like, I'm mad. I'm like, sitting next to this lady. She got a Michigan sweater on. Me and her talking. There's another dude on the end here, Michigan fan. There's more people around.
They was having fun.
Yeah, I'm in Lansing. I'm like, I'm out of town. How's y'all in my neighborhood all this Michigan stuff on? Y'all supposed to be in Lansing. Y'all supposed to have green on. So I go to the hotel. They get to acting funny in the hotel. My wife, she go check in. He's like, oh, they was real rude to me. I go up in there, everybody got on yellow and blue in the hotel. I say, oh, man, that's why they rude to you. They think, like, ain't no Spartans in this hotel, checking in this hotel. So we go in there. So I go up to the lobby. I go upstairs. I'm mad. I come back down. It's 30 zip. I say, oh. So I come through with the luggage rack. I say, whoever ready to get on my bandwagon, get on it. Cause
okay, it's like, 30-30 now.
Yeah, and I seen one touchdown, Tony, that showed me that, whoa, we the better team. And they was in, like, not the I formation, but they had the back. They had all the wide receivers spread out.
Mm-hmm. Single back.
Yeah, and something they did with the offensive line, they looked like the Titans when they did it. The Tennessee Titans, how they do for Henry.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, Hutt, and he changed the audible. And the block changed to, like, this matrix type of accordion type of blocking. Yeah. And it was like the holes just opened up everywhere. I'm talking about
huge holes.
He
man.
Was going to the, he went to the, he got it, went inside, and it seemed like he ain't had to change.
All you do is run straight.
He ran, and it seemed like the block was like, here you go.
Whew, yeah.
Touchdown. I say, oh my goodness. Then I was like, oh, we back in there.
Okay, yep. It was a good game, man.
And then down to that final play, it looked like a State Farm commercial. I know you Farmers Insurance, but it looked like you got to be quicker than that. Ugh, I got it. Number zero, they got T-shirts for that too out already.
Oh, is that right?
Number zero, the one they was trying to target
all day.
Yeah, he showed him in the end like, Coach, believe in me.
Finally got one.
Let me get this. I got this starting spot. They believe in me. So just looking at that, and just then the Lions do what they do, you know. So
yeah, well, this should be a good week for the Lions, though. Yeah, it's a bye week.
Yeah,
so they don't have to play anybody.
That's why they're gonna get a win then.
They don't have to worry about getting beat this week.
Yeah, so that's good. I got 3 out of 4. I thought I was gonna get a Lions one, and I was just like, man, it's affected by it, and it got you thinking, like, ah. But then just speaking of that, just, you know, sports and our community,
we got an opportunity to see 3 of our kids on the showcase last night.
That's right.
For MAC Conference football, which is, you know, to me, just as good as watching any Power 5 team. Central Michigan played Western Michigan last night, which is always a fierce battle. And one of our locals, my nephew, Khalil Pimpleton, spotlight, and set records last night in a win because they had, you know, I think it was
down 10-0 or something?
14.
Okay.
It was 14-0. In the first period, and he scored 3 straight touchdowns. They went in halftime. Central was leading 21-14. And then they went out in the second half and put it away. So Western had beat them the last 2 years in a row. So
yeah, they got the cup.
Yeah.
The rival cup. So then when you think about that, a guy that's like 5'7", 5'8".
Yeah, at best.
All-purpose slot wide receiver back. Quarterback, as we've known him.
I don't know what he is. He's throwing the football.
Just throw him on the football field to throw the ball at him.
Let him go.
throw the ball at his head and see what happens.
Yep.
That's all you got to do with him. And if it hit any part of his body, he's going to catch it. He's going to do something with it. That's what I've known him as. It's like, you watch him, you're like,
is that a playmaker.
Is that a person, or is his feet moving, or is he floating on the ground?
That's a testament to his work ethic, man.
Yes.
The coach said it. He said that guy is the heart and soul of this football team because he not only pushes himself, but he pushes everybody on this football team. And the coach said he even pushes me, right?
Wow.
So, you know, that's a great testament.
Let's take it back to this, though. Let's look. Back to Virginia Tech, right?
Yeah.
That was their next Mike Vick. They wanted one.
Well, they had a coaching change, and the new coaching came in and said, you know, we really don't have a place for you.
A guy that just broke Antonio Brown's record.
Didn't have a place for him at Virginia Tech. So
a guy just – now, let's think about Antonio Brown. With the Pittsburgh Steelers, Antonio Brown. With the Chippewas, Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
A guy that just broke Antonio Brown's record at the same university that transferred from Virginia Tech, that's been, like, one of the best receiver duos in the nation.
Yeah. Ja'Cory Sullivan and Khalil Pimpleton, yeah. And then you got to remember Curtis Adams.
Oh, yeah.
He went to Central Michigan from the Muskegon area.
He got a statue out there,
And still got records set up there.
Yes.
Ladarius Jefferson.
Yep.
So he transferred from State to Western.
He got about 9 or 10 touchdowns.
So, you know, it's all good at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's all good.
I want to say this, though. Don't let nobody tell you what you could do.
Right.
That's what Khalil Pimpleton is.
Yeah, don't let nobody set the boundaries for you. You set your own boundaries. You set your bar, your boundaries, and then you go to work.
Yeah,
that's the name of the game.
We had him. I know Brent. When Brent was coaching, and he used to bring kids into the classroom, right? Mm-hmm. And he brought in Khalil. He used to bring in offensive, defensive guys. And Khalil was talking to the kids, and he was just sharing with them about what you said, his work ethic. And like, oh, you small. He was like, but I work.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
I work. And then the way he presented himself at the time, I told him, brother, you not this kind of back, but you remind me of this kind of person with your character, work done.
Okay.
I told him that. I was like, you remind me of work done. He's like, I don't really know who he is. I'm like, bro, you
go check him out.
Yeah, I said, you need to go check him out. Yeah. You got the ability to take it to some other notches and levels, not because of how you play football, because of how you talking right now in front of these kids.
Right. That attitude.
Yep. And now I see that attitude almost 3 to 4 years later that it's something different.
Different. So, again, a great night for the Muskegon Big Reds. Yes. A great night, and the Big Reds continue their march. Ford Field game this weekend, Cedar Springs. The last game that we'll probably get at home, but I think we got a very good shot at making it to Ford Field.
So I mean, we got what's going on in our country right now? We got a lot of stuff going on. We got this infrastructure bill, $1.8 trillion. We got this in front of us. We got the inflation going up, and interest rate trying to stay at zero. I'm like, what is this? When is this stuff gonna balance out, man?
Yeah, the supply chain issues where, you know, telling folks, you know, things that you order for Christmas you may not get. But again, it's all, you know, part of this pandemic, right? Because we shut everything down, and then unfortunately, when we came out of it, people during that year of the pause, 6 months to a year, had some different thoughts about how they wanted to live the rest of their lives, right? Because they've watched people that normally would probably live another 20, 30 years pass away. And it just brought people to a whole nother level of realization about how they wanted to spend their lives. So a lot of people that were in that service industry, they decided to go do something else. So, you know, you don't have truck drivers. You don't have people to unload the products. Restaurants are still suffering because they don't have enough staff. But there's no one person to blame, right? This is just a matter of supply and demand. Yeah. So, you know, it's a tough time, man. And
I wanted to say this about COVID. I heard it somewhere, but I've been thinking. I was like, COVID is not a disease problem. It's not. COVID is an economic and infrastructure problem.
Okay.
With our world. You got to think. All we've been chasing is money, and we've been putting gaps. We've been putting barriers in front of different racial groups, different communities.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's showing is that we got all these gaps when it comes to insurance, when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to education. You're like, hold on. It's an economic issue. It ain't got nothing to do with no disease.
Right. Yeah, the disease just brought it to the forefront.
Yep.
Right, that's what happened. It exposed.
Because you could cover it up with the money. The money was covering it up. Oh, we doing this, we doing this. What about these people? They ain't got nothing to eat. What about these people? They
homeless.
You telling me they want to go back to the same job, but you talking about they front line, and you don't want to give them nothing.
Right. You don't pay them like front line workers. I mean, the same thing in the healthcare industry. I recently had my physical, and my doctor told me, he says, you know, we don't have enough doctors. A lot of doctors had either left the profession or changed professions, as well as all the nurses and what have you. And again, we're back to that pandemic thing, man. We're just kind of exposed a lot of deficiencies in how this country operates in the world.
Teachers are retiring right now.
Man, there's shortage of teachers, of subs, bus drivers.
Yep.
Shortage.
Teachers are retiring tomorrow. They like, I'm out of here. And then that goes into the economic problem where the COVID has showed the trauma that's been going on for years.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's some depression, some anxiety, post-traumatic slave syndrome, whatever you want to call it, all these layers of other stuff is like, hey, I'm here, man. Hey, this is me now. This for real. This is the problems I've been dealing with my whole life. My generations of people, and I'm right here.
And what the result of this is, it's now an employee, right? It's an employee's market. Not employers. For years, employers had all the cards.
That's right.
And if you look across the landscape now, you see more strikes taking place, You know, I think over Kellogg, they're still out. Caterpillar is still out. And there's probably more that we don't even know about. But it's because these people have said, you know what? We're not getting our fair share of the wealth. And we're gonna take a stand.
Yep.
And some left jobs, right? That was their way of demonstrating their dislike for the way they've been treated or paid or compensated. There's others that were able to collectively group together to strike, what have you. But it is. The employees now have the power to make the changes that has not been made. The minimum wage, for instance, right? Now that's the big move is people is paying more. McDonald's paid $15 an hour. And for years, people paid made what, $5-6 an hour probably at McDonald's? But this has forced all those people. And unfortunately, we as consumers, they're going to pass that on to us in higher costs for their goods and services. I don't know if you've been through the drive-thru lately, but it's like sticker shop, right? You go through and order a kid's meal and, you know, maybe a hamburger, it's $8.
Yeah, I seen that.
It's like, you know, before that was like a $4 trip. Now it's like $8 or more.
Yeah, I take my, like, I don't eat burgers, but my wife wanted some, she said, I think she ate some steak and shake. It was like $20. She only ordered food for herself.
Okay.
And she ordered a burger, a double burger, french fries, an onion ring side, and I think it was a milkshake or something. I had to shake, but I'm like, that was $20.
Yeah.
Steak and shake is decent. That's supposed to be $10 meal.
Yeah, right. At best. You know, at best.
Yeah.
And now the other piece to this whole puzzle is that the OPEC nations have decided that they want to increase the cost of crude oil. So yesterday I looked and the price of gas was at $3.50. It went from like roughly right around three up to three. Yeah.
$3.48, $3.50.
And normally you see an increase in gas because they talk about the changeover from your summer blend to a winter blend, and you get an increase there.
Yes, right.
But analysts are saying that probably into the winter, we'll be paying $4 a gallon for gas, because they're paying $4 a gallon right now out west, California, Nevada. Those communities are already paying $4 per gallon. So what that does, again, is it puts another layer, because the transportation costs to get the goods and services to the stores, it's going to cost more.
Now, let me ask you this question, though. So then, I've been hearing the word biodiesel. Were you taking this?
Well, biodiesel is sort of like that movement to the clean energy. So it's a bio type of a product that is supposedly is more environmental friendly. Okay. Is that the real answer? I don't think so.
Because you got to get rid of combustible engines.
Yeah, that's it. That's it right there. Combustible engine. And cars
trade
and
off
trucks.
Engine for that.
So, but I imagine.
But the 1.5 degrees is the thing. Like, you know, the world going to heat up at 1.5 degrees. It's a lot.
That's a lot, man.
People that's like, that ain't nothing but a 1%. No, bro. 1 degree.
That means
that's like
lot.
You at the crib. Put your socks on. Turn it. Who set the heat down to 75? You're like, I like my heat at 77.
Right, 80.
it's the difference.
It is.
That 1.5 degree is a big difference.
The difference when it talks about global warming, you know, and ultimately it affects everybody on an economic basis. Okay.
Yes, sir.
You may not think so, but it does. Everything that we're talking about today ultimately impacts how you manage the money that you receive. When you take home, be it through, you know, a pension, Social Security, hourly wage, salary, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. All that money is going to be affected because of what we've just talked about.
Yeah. And when you think about it, like, look, stimulus, 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 this check, this rebate, child care tax, that money got ate up.
Those are artificial stimulus.
Yeah. Trick moves.
So it's not long term.
Them trick moves. And then if you haven't lowered your cost of living and say, I'm going to live off half my dollars. You couldn't say that.
Yep.
If you wasn't smart enough, you didn't save it. Nope. You couldn't save it because you was like, I'm living check to check. I need this money. I got the bills up, groceries up. So you got to spend this. But
yeah.
I'm going to say this. I noticed something else. So in the state of Michigan, they say it's a $5 billion surplus of insurance funds.
Yep.
Because they stopped the catastrophic, right?
Right.
Claims.
Catastrophic claims had over $5 billion. Now, everybody supposed to get a check.
They say $600 per vehicle.
$600 per vehicle. That's the refund that you're supposed to get back. Don't know when it's coming. But, you know, through the reform, the Michigan Catastrophic Claims was an entity that provided service for people that were paraplegic as a result of an automobile accident.
So somebody got to eat out of a tube, they're in a wheelchair, they're wheelchair bound their whole life or bed bound.
That's right. And they have to retrofit their home. They have to pay for all the medical. They pay for the retrofit of the automobile where you see the ramps and all that stuff. That was the purpose of that fund.
So now that fund is gone. If you don't got the money, you hit.
So now it's up to your insurance company to provide that for you. So that, and that goes back to the type of liability that you carry, right? And they gave you all these different avenues to in which to try to lower your premium. They still have unlimited that's still available. And if you're working and you're young, don't go for the $250,000 or the $500,000 limit for bodily injury, because once that money is gone, you're on your own. Maintain the unlimited coverage, because if something were to happen, that's what it says, unlimited. There's no cap. Mm. And for the money that it's going to cost you, it's well worth it. Like I say, if you're working, you got a family, don't go for the okey-doke and say, yep, give me the lowest price you got because if something happened. Once that $250,000 is gone, and you know medical costs, along with everything else, will be ate up in a matter of months.
Yeah, especially if you don't got no good health insurance. You out of
there. Right.
Man, it's rough. So then that goes to what we've been talking about. I know we talked about negotiating a better deal for cars and the rewards of it. Today I got the next election. It's called a home. Home buyers have experienced serious sticker shock over the past year and a half. So that's that when those houses are up. When you see a house and you like, Lash, I know that house, this neighborhood worth $150,000. And you look at it, say $269,000.
Yep.
$369,000.
Appraisal. That's what it's appraised at now.
But then you see the tax base, you say, oh, this tax is only $150,000 home. Like, hold on, how they doing that?
Oh, don't worry, it's gonna change.
How they gauging a home where it's like the tax base say $150,000, but then they say the house is gonna sell for
$369,000.
Okay. How is that like that?
Well, it's only temporary.
Yeah.
Because once you get your assessment,
that's what
on
I'm talking
the
about.
Value of your home,
the assessment,
it's gonna increase your taxes. Okay?
Yeah. Oh, nobody won't pay that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When you say, well, my house is worth, you know, you feel good about the fact that the appreciation value of your house has increased.
Well, tax bill comes.
The state of Michigan and all the municipalities are going to say, okay, that's great.
That's real inflation right there.
Here's your percentage of taxes now that you have to pay because your house value have increased based on the market. That's how that works.
So to hold that appreciating asset,
it's going to cost you more in your tax dollars.
And you're like, hold up, my house ain't really worth this much. I only pay this much a month on it. I only pay $1,000 a month. You tell me it's worth $400,000 now? You better sell that mug.
You better do that. Downsize.
Yeah, run. Get that money while you can't get that extra $200,000 or get that equity the way you can sell it. Don't refinance the equity and be stuck.
Nope.
Don't do that one.
Unload that baby. Pay it off and take the winnings.
Yeah, unless you're trying to go for a shorter term. Probably right. I can go for 30 to 15. Oh, that's to make it happen.
Makes a difference. And then that's another issue that's going to come into play is that we will start seeing interest rates increase.
Yep.
That's going to happen.
They zero. They like, how you having everything zero and inflation is high?
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why they're saying that in order to stem inflation, you got to raise the interest rates, because right now money is so cheap. There's a lot of borrowing is going on, and it's helped stimulating the inflation, okay? And the only way to stop inflation is to increase the interest rates. And if you know anything about economics, you'll understand the dynamics of what that does to
it's
inflation.
It's a protector. It's protecting. That's why they buy the government buy those bonds when they playing that game.
That's right.
James Bond. Not James Bond.
No.
They buying those bonds.
The Treasury. U.S. Treasury.
To ensure they move. It's like a chess move they making, and they insuring it with the bond.
With liquidity, that's liquidity. And those bonds interest rates are pretty low. But again, all that's gonna start creeping up over the next 6 months. When we get into the first quarter of next year, I definitely look for at least a 0.5%, if not a whole percent move in the interest rates from the Federal Reserve.
They're like, we're tired of this. We got to pay on these bills.
We've stimulated the economy enough. Now it's time for the economy to stand on its own.
Wow. So here's a quote. It says, unless a house is grossly overpriced, homes are selling within days and with multiple offers. Mm-hmm. So what I've noticed is people ain't got to improve their house. They just like, oh, I'm just going to sell it as is.
As is.
No appraisal or nothing. It could be a methane leak or it could be a hole in the roof. There's a hole in that roof right there. Or I ain't got no base. I'm supposed to build a basement. There ain't no basement in this. It's flooding every day. I'll take $200 for this. They're actually selling houses like that.
It's unreal. The market has gotten, I think, totally out of whack.
That's crazy. That's like, I don't know what to say. So the strategy say in this market is make a cash offer if you want to win it. You want to win your bid? Say,
yeah.
And I think about the movie American Gangster, and not the part of Denzel Washington, but I always saw that part when he walked in, he bought the condo, and it was a sky rise or something, right? High rise condo.
Yeah.
Right? He walked in, he started playing the piano. He said, I want this. No contingencies, no loan, no nothing. I got straight cash.
Yep.
The lady was like, okay, let's make the deal right now.
Oh, yeah. Cash is still king now.
Cash is still king. So I learned that. Say sellers want to be confident that the sale will close, and cash buyers can give that to them by waiving their financing and appraisal contingencies.
Yeah.
That means that you got, what you selling a house for? $200? Here go $200 right here.
Right here.
What? You guys, it's a cashier's check.
Yep, cashier's check.
Real.
But I got, you got three other people over here that put an offer in.
Well, mortgages.
That has to be qualified for it.
Yep, 40 and, days, yeah. 90 days.
And they may have offered more. They might have said, okay, we'll give you 220, right?
But you're like, hold up, I got 200?
We're contingent on getting the financing from the lender. But here's a guy with 200. The old saying, a bird in the hand. Yeah, two in the bush.
I'm taking that 300 cash.
Give me the 200 and we're done.
Talk to my accountant and say, how can we play with
that's
this?
That's right.
How can we play around with the numbers? I got the cash.
Yeah, close the deal, baby.
Yep, and that's one of them. So offer a lease back agreement. Now, I was reading this and I've seen this happen in the past. Like, you sell me a house, Tony. This is an example. And you say, Chauncey, it's a pandemic right now. I want to pay you rent back for 3 months. And I'll put that in the closing costs as a check towards you.
Yep.
I've seen that happen in the past when I even worked in that space with rental properties or like trying to help somebody get into it, go from a lease, renting something to buying it.
Mm-hmm.
And we did 3 months of the lease, right? Then we turned to a purchase agreement. And then we used that to build their credit in them 90 days. Because they had like, they showed where they was renting from us and they got to the point like, we got to build your credit. So when their credit got higher, it showed that they was coming from a buy, but then they were selling, they was losing the property.
Mm-hmm.
So we used that to leverage their credit to put them in another property.
Right.
Yeah, it's weird, but that was before the days where they changed a lot of mortgage lending stuff too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you can't do
everybody take advantage of it.
You can't switch the root of the system. But that's crazy, somebody else figured the system out, you can't do it like they do when they figure it out.
No.
But that was a smooth way of doing it, making a renter a buyer real quick and using that rental history as if it was the owner lease type of thing.
Yeah. Almost like a credit history.
Yeah, like a credit history owner lease type of product. So they got the websites out there. Do it now, but that was the old way of doing it. But like, say if somebody have an actual property, you buy from them, you say, all right, you can live in it for 3 more months, but you got to give me a return on my concessions.
Mm-hmm.
And I want it in the form of a check. You know, close.
Well, a lot of that still happens today in a sense because people sell their properties, but yet haven't been able to secure property somewhere else. So. You're supposed to be out in X amount of days. Well, I can't move because I don't have nowhere to go.
Yeah, and then
so y'all got to.
I ain't finna stay in the hotel suite. That's too expensive.
Yeah, so you got to pay the buyer.
Yeah,
got to pay the buyer rent.
The next one says be creative. So, it says a few strategies that buyers are offering include disposing of the seller's furniture, paying for the seller's moving costs, covering any appraisal gap, waiving a home inspection contingency, right, and paying part of the seller's closing costs.
That's a lot of stuff, man.
Man, that's that's like flipping the script.
Yeah.
That means you really want that house, though.
Yeah.
If you're willing to do something like that.
Yeah, you're trying to unload it if you're going to pay all that.
Yep.
Yeah.
But then going back to the offer lease back agreement, so you say you want to make your bid more attractive. You could offer to pay for the seller's utilities while they are renting the property from you, or offer a free lease back if you know that they're facing a lot of competition.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, All right, look, I'll do this for you. I know you're selling this house. They won't buy it, but I'll let you live in it for 4 more months.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still getting
it. Sell it to me. I'm 4 more months. I don't care. Look, it's closed. I just got it. It's in my name. It's like you renting from me, but you ain't got to pay me nothing for them 4 months.
Okay.
Oh, they're like, what?
Oh, yeah, jump all over that.
Yeah, what? What, Johnson? Yeah, you, go ahead, man. You can live there. And yeah, what else you got, Tony?
Right, one little tidbit, and we're going to go. Warren Buffett. Okay, we all love Warren Buffett.
Yes,
And he was talking about, you know, what do you need to be doing in this time of the inflation and, you know, the supply chain? And this is what he said. He said, there is one safe haven worth having forever. U.S. farmland. He says, no matter how high or how fast consumer prices climb, people still need to eat. And it just so happens that Buffett's good friend, Bill Gates, is America's largest private owner of farmland.
Yeah, because he's doing those farms where he's trying to make it where you don't have to have a lot of soil. He get building those domes to grow food. Remember, he got the stuff with the water, the refrigeration of the prescriptions. When everybody was before COVID, he was reading all the books about how to grow.
Yeah, yeah. So Bill Gates went from this technology mogul, right? He invented Microsoft, right? Technology, back to farmland, which is the oldest source.
The truest investment you could possibly have.
Of revenue and income that man has ever known.
Come on now. You talk about man has ever known, and we talk about colonialism.
Yeah.
When the man that stole and maimed and killed and murdered for it.
Right.
And took it away from ancestors and Native American people and all that. So you got to think, that's like that investment right there will never leave.
Nope. He took all his money and bought up land.
Yeah, yes, he did. I've read articles on that, man.
So that was interesting.
Yes. So that's our show for the day. I'm Chauncey Williams.
I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.